Hey, good morning, Encounter. Let's give the Lord a hand this morning and just praise Him today. I always just love to start a message, just giving the Lord, continue to give Him honor and praise together. Good morning. Great to be with you today and just praising God to be together. I wanted to share a few praise reports with you, just how God is working in and through you in our community. One of the things that kicked off this week was WOW, our Women of the Word ministry, and we had over 115 women there on the first week. So if you're one of those, would you raise your hand out there? Just so many of you out there. What a great ministry. We're thankful for all of you and how you're letting God use you through that. Also on Friday night, we had our Fun Friday with Encounter Kids, and there were over 130 people there just having a great time together, and lots of young families just having a great time enjoying life together in the Lord. Encounter Youth is going strong on Wednesday nights. Praise God. We're getting great reports of what God is doing in Celebrate Recovery on Thursday evenings, and just a place where all of us can go and find freedom through our hurts, habits, and hangups when we give them to the Lord together. And then groups are starting up all over the place, and we just thank God for every leader, every home, and every room that gets opened up for small group Bible studies through our church family. And so I want to be asking you to be praying for all the ways that God is wanting to reach our community and our families and friends in the coming season. We have a lot of things that are getting started in the coming weeks. Pray for our students. Can we just give our students a hand over here? They tend to sit here on Sunday mornings. So just ask God to work powerfully at Moose Mountain this coming weekend. And we also have Mom Co. that's starting soon. So many things to lift up before the Lord and ways that God is using you as you use your life for Him. One other thing just to remember is that September is a very special month for us. We call it Christmas in September. And the reason we call it that is we have 17 global partner families strategically around the world who are spreading the hope of Jesus Christ. And in September, if you want to give an above and beyond gift, all of that is collected together during the month of September, and then we give individual gifts at Christmas time to all of our global partner families. I was talking to one of them recently who are serving the Lord in Central Asia, and I can't name the country just for their own safety, but they were talking about how this man who lives in this predominantly Muslim area, one of the least reached people groups in the area that they are serving, had come to know Jesus Christ as Savior, praise God. And he was beginning to tell his family about Jesus and being a light in his family for the very first time. And so it's people like that who are serving in these extreme areas that we just want to bless at Christmas time. And so there's a giving drop down for that on our website. You can also put Christmas in September and it will get to the right place. Well, one of the things that I have shared before about me and who I am is that when it comes to household work projects, I am a work in progress, okay? My wife is so kind and loving. Whenever we talk about this, she always reminds me that I'm good at so many other things, you know? And if you know anything about me and I've talked about home improvement projects, then you've probably heard this story from me because in our previous home, not where we live now, after living there for 15 years, we decided it was time to get the inside painted after 15 years of life in there. And so we hired a painting crew because I wasn't going to do it. And they came in on a Monday morning and we had taken all of the pictures off the walls and moved all the furniture into the centers of the room. And we had put all kinds of thought into the color of paint that we were going to paint the inside of our house. And we had picked this color that was famous at the time called agreeable gray. How can you go wrong with agreeable gray? I mean, you just can't go wrong with that. And so they showed up on a Monday morning. I went off to work that day, and I came home at the end of the day, and the plan was they were going to start in the bedrooms and work their way out so that we could sleep in our bedrooms that night, and then they would finish the rest of the house as the week continued. And I got home, and Amy and I went back into the bedrooms to see the paint, and it was still drying, and I looked at it, and I thought, I don't know if that seems very agreeable. It looks almost cucumbery, maybe even minty green. It may even be bordering on seasick blue. I'm not sure. But you know, it was still drying. And she said to me, "Do you like it?" And I said, "Well, do you like it?" We're like, "Well, if you like it, I like it." We were just thankful to have our house painted. And so that night we slept in kind of makeshift beds in the bedrooms. And, you know, it was fumes in the house. We were just grateful our house was getting painted. But no one slept well. The kids didn't sleep well. We all woke up in the morning not so agreeable. We were all somewhat grumpy, but we worked through it. I'm pretty sure we had a major fight before everybody went off to school. It happens, though. We just pushed through it. We were thankful our house is getting painted. The end of the second day happened, and I came home, and they had done, you know, the main living area of our home at the time. And, you know, I looked at it. I thought, you know, it just doesn't look very agreeable gray to me. It really is kind of, it has this kind of seasick blue tone to it. And Amy looked at it. I looked at it. We're like, "Well, do you like it? Well, do you like, well, if you like it, I like, I mean, we picked the color. What are we going to say?" But I had a meeting at church that night. And so I went back to church on my way there. I just started thinking, you know, I don't remember the paint feeling this color. And so I called Amy. I said, "Yeah, I don't think it's the right color." And she took the sample that we had chosen in the very beginning and painted it on the wall next to the where they had just painted. And sure enough, they had painted over half of our house the wrong color. Now, there are a number of possible responses in this moment. One of them is you could be agreeable, like your paint was supposed to be, right? Or you can be disagreeable, or you could be grumpy, or you could be grateful that your house is getting painted in the first place. But, you know, I really, a grateful joy was not my first response. I'm just letting you know that out there. And grateful joy is this quality of life in the Lord that God has been inviting us into through the New Testament book of Philippians as we are walking through this great book of the Bible. And God is inviting us to have it in our life because there's something about the grateful joy of the Lord in our life that shines to lives around us about the hope of who Jesus Christ is. And it's one of the many ways that we simply give glory to God together. And there are certain seasons in life where grateful joy just flows out of who we are, and it just comes easy in life. And then there are other seasons of life where, man, you're fighting for it. And gratefulness and joy seem so elusive. And the Apostle Paul, who God used to write the New Testament book of Philippians, he was full of both gratefulness and joy. And the passage we're going to look at this morning, he's inviting us to tell us how important it is and how we can find it in our life, even in some of the most challenging situations, and how we can do that. And so let's remember what was going on and who the Apostle Paul is for a moment, because at the time he's writing this, he is under house arrest in Rome. He's been arrested for proclaiming Jesus Christ as his Savior. His life is on the line, and he is awaiting trial, and he's writing this letter led by the Spirit to this church in this city called Philippi that is 800 miles away. And Paul and the church in Philippi, they had a long history together. Paul loved them. They loved Paul. In fact, they had taken together a financial gift together as a church family and had sent it to Paul all the way over in Rome so that he could be under house arrest instead of being in this deep, dark prison in Rome while he was awaiting trial. And their care for him, really as a global partner in their life in that moment, gave him joy. Just as any time we share care for one another and love each other, it causes us to have a grateful joy for the people in our life who do that. But he also had joy because even though he was under house arrest, he still had to be chained. Usually they were 4-foot chains at the time, to one of Caesar's, you know, royal prison guards. And one by one, as time was progressing, they were coming to know Jesus as Savior because they were hanging out with the Apostle Paul all day. And he was leading them to the Lord. And so Paul was full of joy, even in the face of his challenges, because people were coming to know the Lord. And not only that, the church in Rome, even though it wasn't super large at the time, they were observing the Apostle Paul and how he was walking through this, and they were growing in greater and greater confidence with God in their life, and they were proclaiming the hope of Jesus boldly and with confidence, which gave Paul joy as well. And so here's Paul. He's in this incredibly tough situation, and he's going to talk to us through God's living word today about how we can experience grateful joy. And he's going to give us two routes to get there. One of them is to listen, and we'll talk more about that in a moment. And the other is probably one of the most counterintuitive things we think about for experiencing joy, and that is to actually pour out our lives in sacrifice. So why don't you stand with me for the reading of God's word? We're in Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 12. I'm going to put the passage on the screen, and I'm going to read it out loud, and then we're going to pray and ask the Lord to meet us in this moment. Again, Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 12. It says, "Therefore, my beloved Encounter family." Do you know you're loved? You are. This is God's living word. It is written to you today. And everyone else who reads it, you are loved. "As you always have obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling and disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain, even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith. I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me." Let's pray and see if we can find some of that joy of the Lord today. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for the life of the Apostle Paul, and we thank you that we get to read your living word today. Lord, we pray for your spirit to move in here right now across this campus and around the world. Lord, we pray for our global partners who are you have strategically placed all over the world. We pray for their encouragement today. And Lord, we pray for your encouragement in our life. And we ask this in your name and in your power, Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Please be seated. So in verse 12, Paul begins by saying, "Joyfully work out what God is working in you." I'm going to say that again. "Joyfully work out what God is working in you." Look at verse 12 with me again. "Therefore, my beloved Encounter, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence," because Paul's in Rome, they're in Philippi, "work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." What a fascinating phrase. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Let's think about what the Bible is saying and is not saying by that very strong and clear statement. Because what the Bible is not saying is work for your salvation. That would be salvation by achievement, salvation by works, and it would not be salvation by grace through faith. And salvation by works pretty much describes how every major religious philosophy of the world operates, if you dig down deep into it enough, apart from a living relationship with Jesus Christ through his unlimited gift of grace for us. Nor does the Bible say actually work on your salvation. It says work out your salvation. Work out what God is working in you. Make it practical. Let the deep work of Jesus in your life get poured out in practical ways. Translate into reality what God is already doing in your heart. And he adds, with fear and trembling. When I read that, it almost really reminds me to go, whoa. This amazing grace that I have through Jesus, I get to approach the Lord with a holy wonder at the endlessness of his grace and his holiness, and that I get to boldly come into his presence. And so there's a holy wonder that God wants us to have as we are working out what he's already done in us, because Jesus Christ did something in our place that we couldn't do through the cross. And so you work out what God's working in you through Jesus. Verse 13, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. So God is working in us, and he's working a good work for his good will. And in this case, he's been specifically talking about living with grateful joy. And in the book of Philippians, Paul has been talking about living with humility, living with a selflessness and a harmony as the people of God. He's continuing that. And I want to focus on a word that was back there in verse 12. We just read verse 13. And it's a word that is really important in understanding following Jesus. It's a word we use all the time. It's a word that I believe gives us power and joy when we really understand it. And yet it's a word that the world tends to really not like all that much. It's the word obey. And obedience is when we say yes to Jesus and we follow him. And yet in our culture, generally speaking, the word obey, apart from understanding who Jesus is in the Bible and what he really means by that word, really it's a word that carries more of a mechanical feel to it, almost a non-relational feel to it. And yet in the New Testament, whenever that word shows up, it can also be translated to listen. It's like an active listening, where you listen and you have a dialogue with the God of heaven, and as you hear him in relationship, you follow him. Look at verse 12 again. Therefore, my beloved encounter, as you've always obeyed, always actively listened to the word, living word of God, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And the word obey in the New Testament is the same word basically in the Old Testament, but in the Old Testament it's in Hebrew, and it's the word shema, and it's a word that shows up all over the place in the Bible. It means to listen actively as well. God uses it all over the place. When Jesus is giving us the greatest commandment ever, he says in Mark chapter 12, verse 29, Jesus answered, the most important commandment is, hear, O Israel, actively follow and listen. The Lord your God, our God, the Lord is one. And he goes on to say, love the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. And when God launches the Ten Commandments, he says, hear, O Israel, listen and follow and obey. And so God is calling us to follow his ways. And one of the things it's good to know is that when we follow Jesus, it's not a blind obedience. And here's why it's not a blind obedience. Because God, we know who God is. We know his character. We know who he is through the cross. We know about his holiness and his love and his unlimited grace. And so obedience flows out of this mutual relationship filled with grace and love, and where God has literally freed us to live our life, where we're free to work out what God is working in us. And so the question this morning is, are you listening to what God is saying to you in your life through his living word right now? And where might there be something in your life that God's been talking to you about through his word, that if you were to follow him and actively listen to him in it, you would begin to experience the joy of the Lord in a greater way? Because when we say yes to Jesus, he is leading us with love into his very presence. And that is where the joy of the Lord is, who is our strength. Paul also says, joyfully shine out what God is working in you. Verse 14, do all things. How many things? Just checking out there. Let's try that again. How many things? all things without, get this, no grumbling or disputing. He must not have known what the United States political process is like or something. Verse 15, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Paul is going, a grateful church naturally shines in a world that's been broken down by sin, naturally shines when we have a grateful joy instead of getting lost in endless disputes and grumbling. And there's a normal power of life, but he's talking about just getting lost in it. And as I said earlier, when it comes to house projects, I'm a work in progress. I know some of you in the room, men and women, you just watch a YouTube video of how to fix something and you got it. You are there. Some of you in the room, you don't even need to watch the video. And my hat goes off to you. I have the highest respect for you. Others of you in the room should be watching the video with me, okay? It will really help you out. But one of the things that I have learned is that when it comes to choosing paint colors, it really matters what you choose, because certain types of paint and certain colors of paint reflect the light more brightly. And part of what God is saying is that how we reflect the paint of our life to the world matters. And one of the ways we shine is by having a grateful joy in the midst of a challenging environment where we don't get lost in endless disputes and grumbling and trying to find God's heart in that. And for the world around us, grumbling comes naturally. It's all over our nation right now. In fact, in just a couple Sundays from now, I'm going to take a little break from Philippians, and we're going to talk about God and politics, because it's where our whole nation's heart is, and we want to seek God's direction in this really important season. And grateful joy in the middle of that environment shines out what God is working in us. And this is the thing. In the church of Philippi at the time, there were some massive, massive disagreements going on and disputes in this church family. In fact, they were so bad that somehow the Apostle Paul, who's under house arrest in Rome, had gotten wind 800 miles away of this dispute going on in the church in Philippi, and that was without social media, all right? So, I mean, you think the arguments in your home are loud? You think, you know when you get in those arguments and you got to close the window because you don't want the neighbors to hear how loud you're yelling? Not that that's ever happened in my house, but this is how loud the argument is that's going on in Philippi. Recently shared a few weeks ago how during the summer we had all three of our young adult children home. Oh, it was wonderful having a full house. And then in a two-week period, they all left to go do their things. And even our youngest, Josh, is in his freshman year of school. And, we're in this official state of what is affectionately known as empty nesters. And you just got to know something about me. Getting more time with my wife, Amy. Oh, this is awesome. This is a good life. And we were joking the other day. We were talking to one of our family members, and we were talking about the dynamics of our house now, because what we were joking about is now that the kids aren't in the house, there's no cover. I don't know if any of you have noticed this before, but there's no cover. And what I mean by that is, if Amy happens to eat something and I'm not home and she leaves the dishes in the sink, not that she would do that, but if she did do that and I come home and find them, I know who did it. There's no cover in the house. And if she walks into the bathroom and the seat happens to be up in the bathroom, I can't blame Josh anymore. It's like, oh, I'm sure that had to be Josh, And if you know my son, he's a bit of a storm, like when he comes in and when he leaves. And so he provides adequate cover all the time just from that. And the same is true with attitudes. If there's a bad attitude in the house, you can't blame it on the kids being grumpy, It's got to be one of you. There's just no cover. And earlier in the week, I got to tell you, I don't know what was going on in me. And Amy asked me to do something. And my response, my first response was just this biting, critical tone back to her. And she gave me grace on it. And then something else happened a little bit later, and that same attitude came out. And on the third time, I struck out. I'm just telling you, I struck out. And I had to take some time to go, well, Lord, what's going on in my heart? And as I was processing how I had spoken to my amazing wife, who was doing nothing but gracious, the first thing I thought is, what lame pastor came up with Choose Joy as a message series title? And working out what God is working in you, I don't think so. I'm not doing that right now. I'm feeling disagreeable. I don't want any agreeable paint going on around here. And, you know, somewhere in that process, I did have a little bit of a, I guess you could call it a little bit light turned on, because I realized, as we were joking about there being no cover now, the reverse is true as well. If you do something positive, they know it was you, even if you were there or not. It's kind of cool. It's a neat new season for us. But this is why I share this. Sometimes when we are working out what God is working in us, it's a little ugly in the moment, because it's a real work that God is doing in us. It's real stuff. It's real relationships. And sometimes the process is downright hard. And I think it's good to remember the promise that we are given in Philippians in chapter 1, verse 6. It's a verse I'm inviting all of us to memorize. And it says this. In fact, let's read this promise out loud together. Begin with me, real loud and confidently. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. That is a promise that God is doing a good work in you. But sometimes that work is not as easy as we would like it to be. And we're in process by the grace of God. And the question I want to ask this morning is, are you listening to the living word of God? Because when we say yes and we follow him, that is where the joy of the Lord begins to grow. And that is where his strength is. And Paul continues and he says, joyfully live out what God is working in you. Verse 16, hold fast to the word of life so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. He goes, hold fast to the good news of Jesus. Run through your life with gospel feet, gospel words, sharing the hope of the Lord that we've been given, that we're saved by grace and not by achievement. As Ephesians 6 adds, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. Because the word of life that we get to share with people in our life, as God's working out what he's working in us, do you know this? It's not drudgery, my friends. It is salvation. It is life. It is love. It is freedom. That is what we get to share with the world as God uses our life as lights. And after you come to know the Lord and as you begin to grow with him, it actually means you get to have better marriages as you seek the Lord together. It means you get to have more wisdom in your parenting. It means you get to have deeper friendships as you grow in loving people the way Jesus does. It means that you get to have more strength when you go through really, really challenging and difficult and sometimes joyless feeling times. And so Paul says, hold fast to the word of life. And he had invested in the glory of God by investing in the lives of the Philippians. And he says, it gives me this grateful joy to be able to do that for the Lord. And I hope some of you experience that as you serve and encounter kids, as you parent children, as an auntie or an uncle who's investing in a child around you, as you're a student leader among your friends or a youth leader in the youth ministry. Man, to have some grateful joy that you get to be a part of the gospel work that God is doing and hold fast to it. And finally, joyfully pour out what God is working in you. Paul says to the church, even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. Sometimes, when we are pouring out our life sacrificially, experiencing joy seems like the greatest mystery, doesn't it? And some of those really sacrificial moments. And the Bible is beginning to lead us to where we find joy in sacrifice. And part of the way God does that is by, in the book of Philippians, by reminding us how God went on the greatest rescue mission ever accomplished on the face of the planet and sent his son as the ultimate servant. And Jesus came as a man and he laid aside the use of his divine attributes as God and went to the cross for us. And he poured out his life and Jesus disarmed the power of sin on that cross. And he disarmed the power of death. We don't have to fear death. We get to live eternally. And his life was poured out on that cross. The Bible says in Hebrews, for the joy set before him. And so Paul is saying, remember the message of the cross and how Christ humbled himself for the joy set before him. And almost every Bible scholar agrees that when Jesus says that, he's thinking about us being restored into relationship with him. And he says, hear that word and listen and let it be poured out of your life as God is working out in you the great work that he's doing, the good work that he's doing. And this is what that means, is we let Jesus pour into us and we pour out into others sacrificially. So be poured out, maybe with that child in your life that's God has placed there, maybe as a parent, as a coach, as a teacher, and it's requiring a little bit more sacrifice right now. And as you're in that process, as God is working out what he is working in you, because that's where the joy of the Lord is. Who is our strength. And be poured out with that friend who's sick. Or be poured out at work in that place that you've been called to in this season to use the life that God's given you. And it's a bit of a sacrificial season for one reason or another, but God put you there. And as God is working out what he's working in you, that is where the joy of the Lord is, because he is our strength. Or be poured out with faith as you're having to trust the Lord for something you cannot see the end of right now. As God is working out what he is working in you, because that is where the joy of the Lord is, because he is our strength. And Paul says in verse 17, even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. And he begins to compare his life to what was called a drink offering, where in the Old Testament, they would make these sacrifices to the Lord that pointed forward to Jesus' ultimate sacrifice on the cross. And these sacrifices would be burnt on the altar. And this aroma would go up to God symbolically to his glory. And they would take these drink offerings, a little bit of wine, a little bit of oil, and they'd place it on the foundational offering as a fragrant, you know, a sweet fragrance to God's glory. It was a symbolic thing. And Paul says, you know what? Even if while I'm here in prison, if I ultimately give my life for the Lord, I take joy because in that sacrifice of my life being poured out, my life becomes like a sweet aroma to the foundational sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. And so he says, that gives me grateful joy. And he's introducing us to a secret to finding grateful joy. That grateful joy is found when we allow our lives to be poured out in sacrifice, because that is where the joy of the Lord begins and where we find his strength. And so encounter, are you being poured out right now? And are you listening? because that's where the joy of the Lord is. And really, that's what we're going to celebrate in a moment when we come to the communion tables. But before we come to the communion tables together, I know I have to tell you what happened with my house, because if I don't tell you the end of the story, you won't remember anything else I said today. You'll walk out of here wondering, what happened to your house? Well, here's what happened. They had gotten the paint equation wrong, so the paint can said the right name, but they had the wrong equation of paint. And so our agreeable gray really was seasick blue. It was really, really off. And the paint store replaced all the paint to repaint the house, and they paid the labor for the workers who had done all that work, and everybody was happy. But the problem was they got the equation wrong from the beginning. And if you look around the world, you'll see so many people trying to find happiness and joy in so many ways. And part of what God is tugging on our heart today is the world has the equation wrong. Because part of the equation is listening to the living Word of God and following and saying, yes, Jesus, I will go where you say, I will follow what you do, tell me to, because that is where freedom is. That is where the joy of the Lord begins, and that is where His strength is. And sometimes there are times where we pour out our life sacrificially to the glory of God, and that is where the joy of the Lord is, who is our strength. And really, in a moment, when we come to the tables together and we take the juice, we're going to say, God, thank you for sending your son Jesus as the ultimate offering. Thank you for the juice that represents your blood so that I could come confidently into your presence today with my brokenness and with my successes and know that I'm in your very presence. Thank you for the cross. And thank you for that bread that represents that your body was broken for me so that I could be made whole as part of the body of Christ. And as we give God thanks today through coming to the communion table together, and we thank God for sending His Son as the ultimate offering to be poured out, may we also come to the Lord today and give back to Him and say, Lord, where do I need to be listening to your word? Because I know that's where the joy of the Lord is. It's where it begins. And where do you want my life poured out like a drink offering on top of the beauty and power of your sacrifice that you gave for me, for your glory? Because I know right there, I will find the joy of the Lord. And notice it's grateful joy, because so many times in life, you got to fight for it. So you kind of have to wrestle through gratefulness, and the joy comes downstream. And sometimes you got to give the sacrifice first, and there's no joy sometimes in that moment. The joy comes later, and sometimes it comes even more ultimately later in heaven. Let's pray. Why don't you stand with me? Before I pray, with your heads bowed, in a moment, if you celebrate Jesus as your Savior, come to one of the tables around the room and take the elements back to your seat and take them as you're ready as we continue to worship. Father God, as we come to the communion tables today, we thank you that we get to come as the family of God. We thank you for your love that pours over us. We thank you for your Son who is the ultimate sacrifice that was poured out for us. Lord, we just want to say yes to you. Give us wide open ears today. And Lord, as we thank you for your offering and the life we have, we ask that you show us where you want us to pour out that for someone else in your name. And Lord, even show us where others are pouring it out for us so that we can have some grateful joy too. We love you, Lord. Amen. Come to any of the tables around the room as you're ready. Take the elements back to your seat.